Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. So when we got on the air, you were talking about how you have a little time off, and can you tell us what you're going to be doing with this time off? Because I found it really interesting. Are you there? Hello,
yep,
Nicole, are you there?
Here. Can you got me?
Oh. Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
So what are you going to be doing with your little bit of time off?
Well, I said that I was going to, you know, I was going to try to focus, I may pick up like a part-time job here and there, just to supplement everything while I'm off, because it's looking like I'm going to have 3 months off instead of only 2 months off. So I'm going to probably pick up a little part-time job, but I'm not going to focus on that right now. For right now, for the first, I'm going to say month, I'm going to be concentrating mainly on art and mainly on like self-care and recuperating and resting my body, getting my body a little bit more fit than it is right now and things like that. And then, you know, after about a month or so, I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll consider picking something up, you know, part-time, you know, just to fill some of the hours, because I have to do something. I can't not
right.
do
no,
anything.
First of all, because what happens is you'll think, well, I'll have all this time off, I'll create art. But if you have too much time, it'll be, well, I could do it tomorrow. I could take it easy today.
Exactly.
And
well,
you know,
Lisa and I, since we're both out, we're going to be setting up a schedule, so that when I go, because my studio is not in my home, my studio is actually, you know, over at my mom's house. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up like I would for a job, you know, not this job because I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. when I don't have to. But I'll be waking up, you know, having a nice breakfast with my wife. I'll be heading over to the studio. Lisa will be here in her home studio, you know, doing music all day. I'll be doing art all day. And then, you know, we'll come together later on in the afternoon and, you know, we'll have something to share with one another. So we're not going to, you know, be kind of up each other's butts for 3 months, where we're going to go and we're going to do our respective things. And then, you know, we're going to come home and have something new to share.
Oh, well, that's good, because we don't want you to get, you know, bored, crazy, whatever, you know, whatever ends up happening when you stay too much. But anyway, once you start creating the art, I think you're going to be very absorbed into it.
Yeah.
Very absorbed. And so
no,
that's
I agree.
Really, so I'm glad that you're going to rest, though, because remember, you were
100%.
So tired a lot, and I'm glad that you're going to rest a little bit.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. You know, I mean, and it's even when, like, because my last day was Monday, and I didn't know it was going to be my last day, because my position, generally speaking, stays on. But because I'm not a card holder, I had to give up my position. So, and that's perfectly okay with me, because I am not one to complain. I was very fortunate to have the position that I have. So, you know, so he needed me to leave a little bit early, which was great. But I, like, leading up to that day, because mentally my body knew and my mind knew that it was all coming to an end, I was at a point of fatigue where I could just barely function. Like it was terrible. And even Lisa right now, just because we know it's winding down, it's kind of like when you're on a car trip and you get and you're tired and you're driving, and then all of a sudden you get to the last 10 minutes of that trip and you just can't keep your eyes open. That's what we've been like for the last couple of days, at least for me it was last week, and for her it's this week. You know, it's just we just can't, like it's very, very tough because we know the end is near, you know? And then when it's time to go back, we're going to be invigorated again. But still, you know, we know the end is coming up. And, you know, poor Lisa, you know, she came home after work today, and it took her 2.5 hours to get from Brooklyn to home, you know? And it started out as a 1-hour-and-50-minute trek, and it turned into 2.5 hours for her. And that we're not going to miss, not at all.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point, that I'm not sure what's going on with traffic, but I think they're doing a lot of construction, and it's, you know, like, it is not rush hour, then it's construction. Like, so
it's ridiculous is what it is. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous.
And it's the worst at night when I finish a psychic party and it's late, and they have all this, like, construction, and it disorients you because they're rerouting roads. You've got lights blaring at you. You know, you don't know where you're going. It doesn't look familiar to you. And
nothing,
you know,
looks
so
familiar. You're relying on muscle memory, and it's just not working.
Yeah, and it's like, where am I now? And, you know, where are they rooting me to? So I found it. And when you're tired, that's the last thing you want to do, because it really, you're just not up for it. You know,
absolutely.
Not at all.
I mean, it's even because, you know, this past week and even on Monday for me, you know, we had to be in an hour later. And so that meant that obviously we weren't going to get up and leave at the same time. We had to be in an hour later, but we left probably about 30 to 40 minutes, you know, after the time that we normally do. And the traffic change in that 40 minutes was so drastic that, like, at one point this morning, because when Lisa leaves, when I'm home, and I'm not going to work, you know, I don't, I can't, like, go back to sleep unless I know that she's safe where she's supposed to be, you know. And even, like, when she leaves the house and I'm on my way to work, she'll always call me when she's about 5 minutes away so that I can see, you know, do you have to get out, you know, and open up the gate? Are you in the parking lot by yourself? And all of these things, like, that go through my head. So we always check in with one another. And even for me, even though I start later, as soon as I get to work, you know, I have to call her or I text her, hey, babe, I got here safely. So, you know, that was something that we normally did. But now when I'm home, I wait up. I don't go back to bed when she leaves. I wait up for her to get there. And all of a sudden I'm looking and it's an hour later. And she should have been there in like 55 minutes. And it's like an hour and 5 minutes later. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to call her, because why didn't she call me? And she still wasn't. She was just getting close to her exit. And she only left like 40 minutes later than she normally does. So that 40 minutes cost her like 10 or 15 on the trip.
Wow. No, I know. It's really,
it's crazy.
It's really frustrating. Well, that's why let's enjoy the good weather and get some rest, because it's well deserved.
Absolutely.
Now, we do have a lot of listeners, and
we didn't
screen any of them. So I guess if you just go by the first one. And I'm wondering if that's Jennifer, the 216-8761. I know it's someone who called in before.
You know what? I don't know. Let's see who it is.
Okay.
All right. So now, just for those of you who generally listen to our show, and for those of you who not generally listen to our show, as usual, I never screen the first caller. I will always identify new callers by the last four digits of their phone number when they have not been screened. And when I do pull you into the chat room, I will always identify you by those last four digits. So when you hear me say hello, you're on the air, or hello even, please answer me so that I'm not sitting there talking to myself. If you want
and also,
to speak
what
either
should
myself,
they do if they want to talk to us?
Yep. I was just getting to that. And if you would like to speak to Cindy or myself this evening, please press the number 1. This way I will get that lovely little alert, and I will be able to pull you into the chat room. So right now we're going to go out to the last four digits of 8761. You have been waiting the longest, and let's see who's waiting for us. Hello, 8761. You are on the air.
Hello. Hello, ladies. How y'all doing this evening?
It's not Jennifer. It's... All right, tell us who you are, because I think we know who you are.
This is Desmond calling from Ohio.
It is Desmond.
Okay, Desmond, so what's happening in your world? We always love to hear from you.
No, nothing too bad, but I mean, it's a lot, but it'll be all right. But I had a question. My my lady friend, we not together now, we just good friends. So we already are planning a trip to go to New Orleans in July. So I had locked my – no, I didn't lock my keys. My keys, the battery had went out. So I called her to take me home, and then when she got off work, take me to get a battery so I could go back to my car. And she just, I don't know, just flipped the script, said, you know, she said we're not close like that for me to be taking everywhere. It's just like out the blue. So I don't know if it's the, I'm going through a dark night of the soul, or is it just, I don't know where that came from. So otherwise, you know, why would she want to plan a trip? I mean, we're not together, nothing like that. We just there for each other, you know. So.
Okay. Well, first of all, your relationship has a lot of mixed messages because, you know, sometimes you don't know what you are to her and she doesn't know what she is to you. But if you're planning this trip, are you supposed to have separate rooms? What's the story here?
We're in the same room, but I mean, I expressed to her that, you know, we're not together. You know, we're not together, but we're just friends. So.
Okay, and. So if that's how it is, I'm not sure what the problem is. Does she recognize you're just friends and do you recognize your friends?
Yeah, I think sometimes she might, every now and then she might get caught up because she want to be together, but it's not, I don't think it's often as it used to be. So.
All right, but do you still want to be with her romantically?
I don't know. I never really did want to be with her romantically. It was just, I guess, you know, I had nothing going on. And this is like, I mean, we've known each other for like years, like over 10 years, so.
Right. So, I mean, it just seems basically, it looks like she wants to have a little more to do with you than you might want to have to do with her. So that could be a problem here.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you're saying you don't, it's not a relationship, but and you don't want it, it's just friendship. But I'm not sure she's hearing exactly what you're saying at all.
I guess she don't want to hear. I guess I don't know. You know?
Right. You know, so are you going to go through with this trip with her?
Well, yeah, I mean, because everything is paid for. I just got to pay for my, I mean, pay for the plane trip. So everything is already paid for. I just have, so I don't want to just give her six, say I'm not going to give her 600 and I'm out of 600 and I'm going to trip. So, you know.
Right. So what's your real fear about the trip now?
Say that again, please.
What's your real fear about going on the trip? Because it looks like it'd be fine. It doesn't look like, you know.
Oh,
like
yeah,
it'll
I think
time.
It'd be fine. I don't think the trip would be a problem. I just, you know, was wondering why she kind of flipped the script. So I guess she explained it to me. So.
Right. And again, you know, it just, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I just think that in some ways she wants a little more than you might want. So sometimes it probably frustrates her, you know, little bit. You know, but it does look like she's looking forward to the trip. And the trip looks like it's going to be fine. You know, you'll enjoy yourself. And also, are you looking to have a relationship with someone at this point? Or are you happy with the way things are?
I mean, I'm open to having, you know, if chemistry is right, yeah, I sure am.
Okay, good, because, you know, that looks like you could certainly, you know, have a romantic relationship in the near future. But I think maybe you're overthinking a little bit here, because everything.
I mean, you're not talking about with her, you're just talking about with anybody, right? No.
Right, with someone, a new
right.
Someone else in the future.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and because it looks like, you know, you will actually end up, you know, having a good time on the trip. You know, are you guys known to fight at all? Because it looks like you might have a little argument or two there. But other than that, it looks like it'll be fine.
Yeah, nothing stressful, nothing. It'll just be a little,
right.
A little argument, but it don't be nothing, like, stressful. So that's a good part.
Right. And that's what I would say, just relax, don't worry about it, everything looks good. You know, so, you know, I'm glad you called in with that, because it seems, you know, it's a little tricky with relationships when it's, when you're not quite sure what the other person wants or what's going to be going on, you know, here. But it does look like she's looking forward to the trip, as you are too. So I'm not worried about what's going to go on. It looks like it'll be fine.
Okay. All right.
Well, good luck to you and enjoy your New Orleans trip. That sounds like a lot of fun.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks for the reading.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Nicole, do you remember sometimes the awkwardness when you're not sure if someone's just a friend or something else or what could go on?
Oh, yeah.
It's always a little bit, you know, you always feel a little dicey on that, you know. You know, is it going to go okay or not? But it does, you know, look like he's going to have a good time. Now, you screened Stacy.
I did screen Stacy.
Have we talked to her before?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
And basically, Stacy's got a career question. Okay, she's got a lot of things going on, Cindy. But there is a job that is coming up. She's been dreaming about it, and she knows that they're going to be able to put this job online soon so that people can start applying for it. And she wants to know two things. A, any idea what the turnaround time of them posting that job is? And B, what is your take on it, and is this the right move for Stacy? So here we go out in New York to Miss Stacy. Hello, Stacy. You are on here.
Thank you. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Stacy. We're glad to hear about it. Now, they absolutely have to post it, right? Like, you can't just apply without it being posted.
Yeah, it has to be posted. Yes.
I know, because, you know, it's funny when you have somebody sitting right there that could do it. You know what I mean? And it's got to be posted. But it looks like they'll be posting it soon. You have a good chance of getting it, actually. You do. Looks a little bit stressful, this job. Are you aware of all that it entails?
I think I know it. You said a little, yeah, but, you know, as long as I'm able to get my foot into the door, because this is a company where it's kind of hard to get your foot into the door. So
yeah, I can
going
I can
through, yeah. It's a little stressful. You mean, like, what, demanding clients, or is it the person that would be over me that has a lot on their plate?
Yeah, and it looks like in general it's a hard one to get into. People want to hold the job, and they bend over backwards to make sure they can keep this job. You know, so it looks a little
okay.
Bit stressful. But, I mean, you can certainly do the job. I'm not saying that you can't at all. And, you know, have you, you know, been thinking about, you know, what you'll say in the interview when you get an interview?
I'm going to actually start prepping for that interview. I have someone that's going to help me. Why? Do you pick up any key words that I should say?
I'll tell you, ask Spirit to help you with this, but just be yourself, pretty much.
Okay.
Because you have, like, a delightful energy about you. Like, you, like, Nicole could probably confirm it. You sort of have this smile in your voice when you talk. Because I think what they're looking for is more emotional intelligence than even someone who might possess the exact skills they're looking for. Because I think they've had some trouble with people not being team players or not being able to get along.
Oh, okay.
So that seems to be as important to them as, like, don't worry if you do have the skills to do this, but don't worry if there may be some more people a little more qualified than you or that you might think would be more qualified, because what you have the traits that they really want. They want someone that, you know, could, you know, is fairly easygoing. The person to be working under isn't a bad person, but they can be, like, a little abrupt or, like, and it's not that they're not a nice person, they're just busy. But if you're not a person who could just say, okay, they're telling me it this way, they want it done, they're nervous, and don't take it personally, you'll be fine. Some people just can't
I won't.
You know what I mean? Some people can't take, they take everything so to heart, so personally.
Oh, okay, I get it, okay. As long as I get my foot into the door, I'll be happy.
Oh, yes, and
You know, and in the meantime, with your current job, I would say just take your money and run. Do your job to the best of your ability. But, yeah, it's a dead deal soon, okay?
So, are absolutely right. Take the money and run.
Take the money and run. Yeah. I always tell people, when you're looking to leave a job, stop being the donkey person, doing everything to the best of your ability, doing everything, you know, you kill yourself. Just do your job, but more focus on, you know, getting this other position, which looks much more suited to you.
Oh, yeah, it's in the entertainment industry, and I need to get that job. Okay.
Good, and that's why, you know, it's funny because I was thinking with some like entertainment or one where you even have to have some contact with outside people.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make sure you know how to handle, you know, entertainment world can be a lot of egos, and you really can't have an ego that's out of control in any way or anyone that works, because otherwise it just isn't gel there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If I were doing the interview, I would just try to reflect, you know, that you're easygoing, that you know, you can deal with pressure, you know, difficult personalities, you know, that's your specialty. You know, like,
okay.
They don't bother you, and things like that. But you know, it looks very good for you getting this job. And it does look like they do need. Now, how did you find out about this without being posted yet?
Well, first, I've been applying on their website for. I've been applying on their career. Okay, so they have two sides of the on the company. They have two employment opportunity sides. They have a permanent position. They have a permanent division, and then they have a temporary division. So the permanent division, I've been sending resumes out for like almost 6 months now, and no one's been calling. And I had a talk with the recruiter. He said, oh, no, it's not you. Possibly they could be hiring already within. They could be hiring one of their own temps that are going into a permanent position. And after speaking with him, he said, you know what you should do? He said, instead of applying for the permanent positions, why don't you apply for temporary positions? It will be easier to get into the company that way.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I think. You got to get, like you said, you got to get your foot in the door. And I'll tell you why. Because it's a difficult job in some ways. Okay. And, you know, they would rather see that what your personality is, how you're getting along with everybody, and then make it, you know, more permanent kind of thing.
So, okay, so they want to see how I get along with everyone, okay.
Okay. You know, because that seems to be the problem, because a lot of people just don't have the personality for it. You know,
they're trying to get ahead of something?
Mm. I just think, you know, you're going to deal with people that have egos and whatever, and if a person doesn't have their own ego in check, it's not good. You know what I mean? And you also,
okay.
I think you're also old enough and wise enough to not take everything personally.
Oh, no, not at all. I just want to get my foot into the door.
I just want to get the job and make the money, you know what I mean? But it looks very good for you. So call in and let us know. I would, you know, kind of prep for the interview, but just be yourself. You know, you don't have to be any, you know, from what I saw in the cards is you have, like, exactly what they're looking for in terms of the personality.
All right, now start prepping for the interview, so that way I don't get nervous.
You know, old souls get very nervous in interviews because they have an imposter syndrome. They don't think they're smart enough or good enough. They get nervous if they think they're being judged. So they don't oftentimes they don't come across as well as they should in interviews. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas young souls just bullshit their way in the whole interview. They really everybody over, and meanwhile they get the job and they don't know how to do anything. But I will tell you, the people interviewing you are pretty slick about that. You know, they now know those people talk a good game, but they don't really do the job. So look to your benefit, just be you, and you know, and it looks like you will like the job once you got it.
Okay, that sounds good.
So keep us posted and let us know what happens. Good luck to you.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. It's always hard when you have to, like, get a job and go interviewing and all of that. You know, I haven't really had to do that, but I had to do a little bit, meet some people for the article that I'm writing, and I got a little nervous. I'm like, I'm not even used to this. And I mean, like, it's been, like, years since I had to, like, introduce myself or whatever. And I said, boy, this is what people have to do all the time.
Because everybody knows you, Cindy.
And I know. And I was like, and the person who did, you know, ask me, doesn't know me personally, but knows me through Facebook and through another place, but I've never really met the person. But meeting other people was like, boy, this makes me nervous.
And yeah, I was like, it's definitely not easy out there.
No, especially if you feel like somehow you're being judged. I think that makes everybody squirm. You know what
Completely.
I mean? Yeah, you know, and maybe we never really outgrow that at all. I mean, that's part of my job, by the way. Every day I feel like I have to be, you know, I have to prove myself. Like every day is an audition with new people.
Yep.
So I'm kind of used to that, but I'm not actually used to more of someone, you know, working for someone or whatever, because it's been so long since I've had to do that, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm used to writing what I want to, and they let me write what I want, but I was, like, really nervous. Oh, I don't know if they're going to want what I'm writing. You know what I mean? Like, I have not, and thank God they liked what I wrote but so far, but, you know, you don't know. I'm used to, like, writing my thing, you know, like, okay, this is what I want to write. So it's like you with your art.
Yep.
That when you haven't really sold your soul for your art, I've created what I want, it's a little more difficult to have another opinion on things sometimes, you know. So.
Yep, it is, most definitely.
Now, if anyone wants to talk to us, they can press 1, please.
Yep, and we did have actually somebody, but there was no answer, and then they dropped off, so.
Oh, you know, sometimes maybe they don't mean to press 1. If you don't mean to press 1 and you do, you don't have to
hang
on.
You see what just happened, Cindy?
Yes, because now. Okay, so let's go to the.
You said it. No sooner did you say it were people pressing 1. That is so funny.
Okay, we can do the 631-0852.
Yes.
Is that one you see? Do you see that one?
Which one? I missed it.
The 0852 is the last 4 digits, 0852.
Got it. Yeah. All right. So do we know who this is?
I think we do, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, let me scroll down here, and let's see who this is. Got it. Hello, 0852. You are on the air.
Hi, it's Kristen.
That's who I thought it was. I thought this was our Kristen. Hi, Kristen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right today.
Doing all right. Okay. Now, I like the way you said all right. You know, you've been going through, like, what Desmond said before, the dark night of the soul a bit. You've been through a lot, you know.
Oh, is that what that is? I was wondering what that was.
Okay,
that
that's
was.
What I thought I would clarify. The dark night of the soul is sort of a spiritual experience in which it seems like everything you thought to believe isn't true. You sort of feel like it's sort of depression, but it's much larger than depression. It's deeper. Okay, and it makes you question everything that you thought.
I feel that. Yeah,
and then that's what you've been sort of going through, you know. So, how are you holding up about your soulmate who's passed?
I have my good days and my bad days. His birthday is coming up, so it's going to be a little hard doing that. His birthday and then my birthday is like a week later, so.
Wow.
I don't know if it's too soon for my birthday reading or if I should wait.
Right. Now, basically, with you, let's just pull a few cards on your birthday year, what you can expect coming up. Now, career-wise, you were going to make some changes. Have you done that yet?
Oh, gosh. So much, like, I got a letter from Suffolk. I owe them money. So now it's like hard to figure out what to do next. So I'm just, I it's on the back burner. I don't really know what I'm doing. Maybe I'll go to BOCES and just, like, learn some sort of trade, but I don't really know what.
Okay, is that the main thing that showed up
in your birthday year, okay, is, you know, there's a couple of money career cards, and one is the Four of Pentacles, which is, you know, being a job that you're not loving, and
absolutely,
it's time to move on from that.
And, I want you so bad.
Okay, and then across from that is a woman, which is Nine of Pentacles, is a woman who's making money the way she loves. And so, you know, both these is actually good because they do have good courses that don't take a lot of time and that you can actually, you know, make good money.
Yeah.
You know? So is there something you're thinking of?
I don't know. I have the talent. Like, I feel like I could do hairdressing or something like that, but I cannot stand, like, just having the customers that are unhappy. Like, I hate dealing with other people.
Well, then don't be a hairdresser.
Okay.
Right. Not only with a hairdresser, you have to be a psychiatrist, too.
Right. No, heck no. I don't
want to
do
that. So it's not just you do their hair, but you have to listen, you know, you have to be attentive, and it's a difficult job. So I would say, you know, maybe if you were to, I don't know, do something where you worked for, like, a theater where you designed wigs or something that people wore in costumes, it could be different than, because you're not really dealing with the people. You're dealing with the wigs, and then they go on the people's heads. But
sure.
You're not even dealing with dead people doing the hair would be easy because you'd have to hear their relatives, you know. I don't think there's any way around that field. So let's cross off those things. You know, now a lot of those jobs, there are going to be ones like where you're going to be dealing with people. So, you know, think, you know, what are you doing now for a living?
I work as, like, a secretary for a catering company, and I, like, book, like, the barbecue part of the company, and I book barbecues, so I talk to people on the phone pretty much, like, every single day, and I book the barbecues and stuff like that, but...
So you do deal with people all day.
Yeah, and it's, I just can't. I did that with my job before I was in retail, and, like, that's why I left. It's just the people are so unhappy all the time, and they just take it out on me.
Well, that's why you don't want to do anything that's customer service-y or things like that. That's not great for you. But I would go through the catalog and see what, you know, what courses maybe you don't have to be dealing with people. Most jobs you do have to deal with people at some level. But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
maybe if it's something, if it's a service that they're, you know, happier to receive or something, you know, it may be a better kind of thing to do. But I do see definitely this is your birthday year. You're going to have to really start thinking about what you want to do career-wise, okay? And just don't take something just to feel like I'm doing something.
Right.
You know, if you're not going to want to do, if your personality isn't such that you could do it, then – you know, maybe it's not a good option for you. You know, so, but that's a change. There's also some love coming if you would want it. And I think that's...
I've been waiting.
Okay. Now, waiting is one thing, but if you have to be a little proactive about finding love, and I'm not saying online dating, more like getting out there a little bit. Do you get out at all? Do you sign up for things, do things, meet people, volunteer for things?
I don't volunteer, but I go out, I go to fairs, I go to the beach, I go out.
Good. Make sure you get out there. You know, your soulmate who passed is saying, and you got to stop giving off a vibration you're not interested.
What the fuck? I can't help that. I'm just walking along smiling at people. I can't help that.
Sometimes you're giving off a vibration that, you know, you already have somebody or something.
I don't even mean to do that.
Of course you don't. But that doesn't mean you're not doing it. And, you know, do you talk to people when you're out and about?
Yeah, I do my best to talk to people. You know what? It's hard. Like, and I think I've expressed this a couple times. Is it's just so hard to tell, like, who's available. You know, if I can even look twice at the person, or will I get murdered by his wife across the room? So many things that go through my head that I'm afraid to even look twice at somebody. You know.
Right. Well, you know, put it this way: just get out there, meet somebody. You know, think about your career. You know, the dark night of the soul is a little bit of a, you know, you have a little bit of an early midlife crisis going on here, which is, you know, I think you expected to be not in the position you are now, okay? There's nothing in your life making you happy right now.
No.
And, you know, it's not that you have a terrible life. I don't see that here at all. You have a decent life. But you're not in love with your career. You don't have a soulmate. So you're kind of antsy to get on with, like, you know, having more than a half life, you know, more of like an exciting life, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that's doable for you. And, you know, and I would, you know, advise you to start paying this, you know, what you owe to Suffolk, you know, that's the community college. Try to pay that if you could. And, you know, there was nothing there that you wanted to study?
Well, I was going to go into, you know, addiction counseling, something along the lines of addiction, family counseling, something along those lines. But with Suffolk, it's almost like $1,000 that it's just not foreseeable in the future. And it's, you know, I want to try and do something and soon and start that new life, like you said. So it's, I feel like I'm just stuck.
Right, exactly. And, you know, if you're really determined to do the, you know, the addiction counseling, you know, something it looks like you could do, you are dealing with people, and talk about dealing with a rough situation. That is not an easy situation to be dealing with.
Right.
And, but, it, you know, because it looks like you could do it, actually. It just is difficult. But if you really want to do that for a career, figure out how you can maybe get a loan or something, some way to, you know, to start to do that, you know, rather than just to take some course that you don't really want to be doing.
Right.
You know, ask Spirit to guide you and help you with your decision as to what's the best thing you want to do when you grow up. You know, like, so we always said this, what am I going to be when I grow up? And, you know, you want to have a little passion in your life. It just seems, basically, there's a lot of boredom showing up here. Like, you're a little bit bored with your life at this point.
Yeah, I am.
And, you know, your soulmate's saying, do you want to go into this addiction counseling because of him and the way he died, or is it because you want to do it?
Yeah, it is because of him. Otherwise, like, I don't know what else I really, like, want to do. I don't know.
Right.
Like, I wanted to do dog training, but it's just, it shifted. I fostered a dog, and the dog was terrible, and it actually made me scared of dogs. So I don't even want to do dog training.
Well, that was
anymore.
The experience you were supposed to have. You see, that wasn't the right job
yeah.
for you. But I'm trying to tell you, Spirit's going to guide you in the direction of things. Maybe, you know, you should spend some time, ask if you could, you know, spend some time at a clinic where they're, you know, or go in an AA meeting or a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and see if you like the vibration, if it's something you could really want to do.
I'm in recovery myself, so I've been there pretty much. And, you know, I feel like the letter from Suffolk was my blatant sign. This isn't what you're supposed to do. So that I feel as though I should try to figure out what I want to do when I grow up. Like, it wasn't the counseling thing. Either.
Okay. And that's why maybe Spirit's slowing you down. You know, they don't want you to just spend money, do something that you're really not going to want to do. Okay.
Yeah.
And what I would say is what I'm notating in your voice, and I'm sure that Nicole will pick up, is a lot of negativity, whether you know it or not. And it's hard for the universe to change your life if we're in a negative mindset. So it's like almost, you know, eliminate the things that aren't going to work for you, that aren't going to do it, and kind of just know that there mm-hmm. is a career for you. Okay, you just haven't discovered it yet. And, you know, again, look at the, you know, the catalog and see if there's anything you want to do in the tech schools. And it doesn't mean if you do something you have to do forever. Maybe it's just something you'll do for a few years. It seems like something you'll like for, you know, not all careers have to last forever. But you definitely need to switch out of what you're doing, you know, at this point, because that's not, it's just not fulfilling you at all. And it's yeah. Way too stressful for you. And, you know, and there's a little bit of depression showing in your cards as well. Do you realize you have some depression going on there?
Yeah, I know I do. I just am always that positive person, so it's hard to be depressed, you know, in front of everybody. It would be so obvious, and so...
But I can hear it in your voice. In other words,
yeah.
what I
you
hear in your voice...
You can completely hear it in your voice.
Like, doesn't it sound like everything she feels like she has to do is she's climbing a mountain right now?
Honestly, it sounds like with everything that you're saying, it sounds like you're on the verge of tears. You know, like,
oh,
like you hear that, that rift in your voice.
You.
And what's that?
I'm crying right now, yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I knew it.
And again, it's when you're depressed. Everything feels like you're climbing, a hill feels like you're climbing a mountain. A molehill feels
yeah.
like you're climbing a mountain. So that's why trying to figure out what you're going to be doing for a career when you're in the midst of the, you know, feeling depressed is almost impossible.
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's not even impossible, Cindy, it's futile.
Right.
Because the decisions that you make when you're under any kind of duress are not the decisions that you would make when you're not under duress. You know, so you may get yourself into something that ultimately is you're not going to be happy with because you're making a knee-jerk decision to do something in your current state. You know, you have to make these are life decisions, and you need to make them when you're a little bit more settled, you know, so that this way you're not making, you know, something potentially worse than it is. You know, I mean, and I, like, you know, Cindy said, like, I could pick up on, you know, that aspect of things. But, you know, like, I was, when I first met Cindy, I was very, very negative, and I was very, very, like, poo-poo on freaking everything. It didn't matter if Cindy told me that my future was going to be full of fucking rainbows and unicorns and pots of gold. I still found a reason to doubt the pot of gold. The unicorns were going to give me rabies. You know, like, I found something wrong with everything she had to say. You know, I was that in that bad of a place, you know, and then slowly but surely I kind of retrained myself to think otherwise. And you know what? Just because you might be a little depressed now, you know, doesn't mean that you're going to stay that way. You know, that, you know, you have to, you know, kind of work through your feelings, and then you have to say, okay, fine, you know what? Now's the time that I'm going to start picking myself up, you know, and if you have any sort of diagnosis with that, you know, in that area, then you know what to do. You need to work through your steps. You need to work through the things that you have to work through with, you know, your professional, and then, you know, you get yourself into a better place, you know, but I would not make any life decisions while you feel this way, because I think that you're going to make a decision based on how you feel now and not based on how you're going to feel in a month from now or in 2 months from now, you know.
Right.
And if what you're saying is that you're a positive person generally and you're going through something right now, then the person you are today shouldn't be judging who you are generally, you know, 80 or 90% of the time.
Right, exactly. And that's what we've known Kristen a long time, okay?
Yeah.
And I never heard the negative things like I've heard tonight. So,
listen, and people get to their breaking point, and sometimes they just have
to,
you know.
She's still mourning her ex. She's depressed. She's not feeling in a great mindset right now. And when the self extension
mm-hmm.
still, she made her feel more overwhelmed, okay, at that
yep.
moment. Like, now there's another thing that's not right.
Yep.
So, that's why I said part of it is, like, take a little time to maybe do a little bit of what we call here joy therapy. I need you maybe for the next month or so, not worry about what you're going to do when you grow up in the future.
Yeah.
But how about let's making the now a little more joyful and a little more pleasant.
Listen, I'm 44 and I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up, Mama.
You know, it's okay. It's okay to change things. Who I was when I'm 20 isn't who I am today. You know, I mean, there was a lot of work that went into that. I went through different phases. And at one point, yes, I was the corporate person on another. Now I'm more artsy, you know, like, you know, and you know what? I'm sure in 10 years I may be thinking completely differently. But not everybody knows what they want to do 100% of the time, especially for the rest of their life. Life is long. You know,
right.
So you don't have to have all of these answers today. You know, you just have to be who you are today and make the best choices with the information that you have. And the one thing that I will say is, you know, not in a very, very official sort of way, of course, but one thing that I've said in the past on this show, when people are in kind of a state of flux, when they don't know what they want, I always tell people that there are options to take different kinds of classes, to occupy some of their time, to try new things. And these things are nominal. You know, they don't have to be college classes that are going to cost you thousands of dollars. You know, you can go online. There's a program called Udemy, and it's basically people like me and you, if we have a certain skill set, we can make videos and people can buy them for like 10 bucks. And you know what? You can share your skill set with somebody else, and you might learn something new out of that. There's also Creative Live. There's also Masterclass. Those two are a little bit more expensive. But like one of the things that I did when I got back into photography after I took my regular courses, I bought the Masterclass pass for a year, and I took classes by Gordon Ramsay. I took classes by Amy Tan and a whole bunch of different people, Joyce Carol Oates, you know, just random things, random just lectures that I could listen to and absorb and see a different perspective. And you know what, for respectively speaking, it wasn't a very, very, you know, it was like, I think like 160 bucks for the year, or maybe like 120 bucks for the year. But you know what, it filled up my time and I learned something new, and I started using some of the knowledge I was accumulating. So if you don't know what you want to do as a profession today, take some classes, take some arbitrary shit that's not going to cost you a lot of money. You might find something that becomes your passion, and maybe that's what you decide to do. You know, you don't have to go through, you know, expensive schooling to do any of these things right now. Right now you're testing the waters. So you know what? Go have fun with it. You know, on Udemy, most of the classes run between 10 and 15 bucks. You know what? It's going to be a few, you know, 30, 40, 50 hours of your life. And you might say, hey, I really like this. Maybe I should look into this more seriously. And if not, you move on to the next thing. And it was nominal, and it's no harm, no foul.
Right, exactly. And just do some things that just bring you some joy and happiness right now. You know, you're in, still in a state of mourning. You know, death is a wake-up call. When someone dies, it's a wake-up call for us. We're supposed to realize we're not living forever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us have that dark night of the soul. It makes us question, are we living our best life? Are we living the life we're supposed to lead? So, you know, what you're experiencing is what you're supposed to be experiencing. You know, you're not supposed to, like, go through something like that and it doesn't change you or affect you.
No.
So that's important. So try to just think a little bit of what will make you happy, what will bring you joy. Do not just start trying to study new stuff just to do it.
Right. Okay.
You know, and, you know, you just got a big hug from your soulmate. He can be very charismatic, this guy. Okay, I could see why you fell in love with him. Okay?
Yeah.
He can be very charismatic. And you can ask him to help guide you. You know,
Send you some signs.
Yes, send you some signs. And, you know, it is really difficult always to figure out what people you're going to do for a living. You know, I remember when I was a children's entertainer and a professional belly dancer, and I was getting too old for it. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, and then got tricked into doing tarot cards and then learn how to do that. And all of a sudden I said, oh, the universe had my back all along. They knew that I needed to do something else later on and that I would have to work for myself the way I was used to. Because remember, you know, I'm not used to working for other people. You know, so ask the universe to guide you in the right direction. And don't go back to school unless you need a license to operate it. In other words, if a lot of things, you have enough skills just to reinvent yourself without going back to school. So So think about that. Is there, like, think about what job you might want to do without going back to school.
Right.
Because there's always that, too. And, you know, just know that you can, you know, we're always going to have to deal with people. And what I can hear in your voice especially is you can't deal with people right now because you're depressed and you're not in a good mindset. And it's really difficult to deal with people when your own mindset isn't good. So you might not feel like you can't deal with people your whole life. It might be just right now that it's more difficult for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so try a little bit, you know, to just do your job now. Take your money and run, we call it. Remember we talked about it before. Be here forever. And with people, you know, if, you know what I was talking about on our first call, you can't take them all personally. It's not about you. It's about them. Like, I learned that being an entertainer. I would do 8 shows in a day. I would hear, she's too fat, she's too thin, she's too pretty, she's too ugly, her boobs are too big, her boobs are too small, she's too old, she's too young. How can I be all those things in one day? And I learned it's not about me, it's about them. And meanwhile, when you're an entertainer, people think they could say what they want because they're a couple of feet away from you. And boy, the people say you wouldn't believe. So people would quit working for me because they couldn't bear listening to it all the time. But I learned it's not about me. If they have issues with their weight or their age or whatever, then they're going to have issues with mine. And I learned not to take it personally, but it took a long time with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so just call in again and let us know, because I think maybe we needed to bring to the forefront that you are in a little bit of the dark night of the soul, a little bit of, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? What am I here for? And a little bit of low-grade depression going on here, just recognizing it can help lift it or help you figure out, I got to do something about this.
Yeah.
It's not going away by itself, okay?
Yeah.
It's there. And have you ever thought about going to therapy?
Actually, I briefly did the other day just because, I could use it.
Okay. Do you have any kind of health insurance?
I believe I do. I haven't, like, used it or anything yet, so I don't know.
Because you might need a little bit of therapy, okay? Not people don't have to have deep psychological counseling for 20 years, okay? Maybe you need a month or two of it. Maybe you need a month or two of it, you know?
Right.
Someone to talk to, someone to get it out with, someone that you could just, because that's kind of what we're doing here for you, a little bit of therapy here, okay, a little bit of talk therapy, because we're just talking, okay? You might just need that a little bit to get you out of a slump that you're in.
Okay.
And again, it was circumstantial depression. You know, you weren't with your soulmate anymore when he died, but you still loved him, you still had things. That triggered it, okay, whatever is going on. And now, like, use that triggering to realize I need a little help to get on and get forward in my life. And like Nicole was explaining how she was like, you know, we all have this where we go through a dark night of the soul, where we all don't know what we want to do. We're all like lost beings, okay? And
You're not alone in that.
Oh, no. I mean, that's,
sometimes it can feel very lonely, but you're not alone. Like, there are, you know, thousands upon thousands of people that are in your position that just simply are like, what do I do next? What do I do now? You know, like, and questioning isn't bad. It's not a bad thing to question those things, because you know what? You don't want to be 50 or 60 and say, what the hell did I do with my life? I've been in a job that I hate for 30 years. You know, so you don't want to do that. And people do that all the time. You don't want to settle. You want to keep expanding. You want to keep learning. And as you change, you want your external life to change with you. And that's okay. You know, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, you took the safe job and you stayed with that for 50 years and you got a gold watch at the end of it. You know, things are not like that anymore. Most people today, especially in New York, if you're in New York, you know, you have multiple jobs. They have their passion that it's usually their side hustle, and then they have something else. And then eventually their side hustle becomes their main hustle, and then they have something else. But they're always changing. And it's okay to change. And don't let anybody
anybody tell you that it's not okay to not know. Because like I said, I'm 44. I still don't know for sure what I want to do. I have very good ideas. I know what I want in the next year to 2 years. But in 3-4 years, will I want the same thing? I don't know, because I'm not done growing and I'm not done learning, and neither are you.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's like one of the most interesting things to, you know, just know that we don't have to always have all the answers. It's okay. But to try to make life decisions when we're not happy, you know, I look back at, you know, one of my relationships and realize, you know, I found that person in a godless time. I was, you know, not a very happy person, not a very spiritual person. So what kind of a person would I draw into my life at that point? Anyway, so we tend to, if we're in a negative mindset or in a, we're going to draw that in a lot too. So that's why I just want you to be a little aware that some of that negativity may be coming across. It may be affecting your work, your job, because your, you know, people, your clients can pick up on it.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't make it better, okay?
Yeah.
So being aware that you're not in the greatest mindset, it doesn't mean it's going to last forever that way, but just be a little aware of it. And unfortunately in America, if we're mourning, people don't wear black anymore when they mourn, or people knew to leave you alone because you're wearing black, you're unhappy. We just have to go back to work a minute later as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
And it's almost not natural. I mean, I think it was probably better when people respected this person's in mourning. Please, you know, cut them a little slack. Be a little kind. You know, so don't jump at taking a career that you're not going to love. But maybe think about, can I just take the skills I have and find something else?
Yeah.
You know, that
I'm going to try different classes. I'm going to maybe check out, like, the library and see if they have something going on.
Libraries are good, and they're either free or very cheap.
Right.
Libraries are great resource. Libraries are not even like libraries anymore. They're like country clubs now. They're
pretty awesome. Yeah, they got some good stuff going on.
I mean, first of all, I think of them, they're like a church. You can't walk in a church in the daytime, which, you know, is, you know, sometimes when we were kids or whatever, we'd just go into a church and maybe light a candle or whatever. Now all churches are locked. So if you're having a bad day and you need a sacred place to go to the library. And also, there's all other tortured souls been there. Every book's about tortured souls, the writers. So, I mean, it's actually a good place to go and maybe wander the bookshelves. This is how I learned a lot of it. I learned I would have it my dark night of the soul, and I'd go to the library and just wander the metaphysical section. And just walk around and see what book hit me on the head practically, and it would be exactly the book I needed. So maybe just spend some time in a library.
Okay.
And also, I like the way you may sign up for things. That's how you're going to meet new people. And through these new people, maybe you'll meet your new soulmate. Also, maybe they have a business. Maybe they have a business. Maybe they'll need you. Like meeting people.
Oh,
right?
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be nice? You meet a new friend and they have a business. How would you like to work on my business? So
that'd be great.
Those are the ways that we begin to change our life, is when we recognize, you know, God can't change our life. It's free will. God can't airdrop lovers into our bedroom. God can't airdrop a job into our lap. It could kind of have someone offer us one because we got out and met people.
Right, yeah.
So instead of feeling hopeless, and, because depression is an anger turned inward into a feeling of hopelessness. There's nothing hopeless here. And I think a lot of our listeners might need to hear the same advice. Get out and do something. Meet new people. Expand your world a little bit. You know, and, you know, there are 30% of genuinely good people on this planet. Those are the people you want brought into your life. And the people, you know, the 3 out of 10 total unfixables and the 4 out of 10 Dr. Jekylls, Mr. Hyde, don't take them personally. It's well-meaning narcissism to take these people personally. They hurt everybody. What, do we have immunity because we're good? You don't even take them personally. Just, I yes these people to death. I'm not going to change them. I'm not trying to change them. I don't let them rain on my parade anymore. I'm a hell of a lot older than you are. It took me a long time to get here. But I'm trying to say to you, why do people have to wait till they're 60 or 70 to realize, why did I let all these people rain on my parade? Why don't you learn it now?
Yeah.
You know, learn it now. Well, I'm glad that we got to talk to you tonight, Kristen, because I think what you're going through is what a lot of our listeners are going through right now.
Yeah.
It's not easy to be human, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a little hard.
It's very hard. It's very hard. It's very hard. And I love Nicole when she says what she used to be like, because she was always delightful and delicious. She just didn't know it. Okay.
Oh. So, yeah, she is great. Thank you, Nicole.
She's great.
I'm still delightful. I'm just saying.
Yeah, she is. She is pretty delightful. She was always delightful. She was always amazing.
I'm very delightful.
Very delightful. Well,
but if you want a good laugh, Kristen, go back to some of like the older shows from like when we first started. I was a salty bitch, let me tell you.
Oh my God.
Really,
and I never censored her. I let her say whatever she wanted to say.
No, you didn't. You let me talk. But yeah, no, I was a salty bitch, let me tell you. And like,
oh,
if you go back to like the early stuff, I was worse than I am now. Jeez.
Right. But we loved her. We loved her.
Yeah.
So we're at the end of our show. Thank everybody for calling in, for knock us off. We'll all speak next week. Enjoy the pleasant weather. For those of you who are mothers, whether it's mothers to children, animals, whatever you nurture and mother, happy Mother's Day. And if you have a mom still blessed on earth, please let her know that you appreciate her. And if your mom's in spirit, know that she's loving you and watching over you. Good night for now. Bye.
Good night, Cindy. Bye.
Bye.